And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for being with us today on a Thursday. Man, this week's gone by fast. It's the last week in July. Tomorrow is it. Goodness. We are at the 31st day. We end the week and a week of this time together and start a new month. When we start that new month, we'll be starting off August the 1st, Saturday, 6:45. Sign on the AM. FM stays the same. And of course, all the other platforms are 24/7, but the AM will sign on at 6:45 and sign off at 8:15 starting then. And so on this 30th day of July, hot in summer and not so bad today. Mostly cloudy, but some rain out there. We'll talk about that in just a minute. First of all, we want to say thank you to some folks today for making the AM signal possible. And we want to say the AM 720 WGCR is being sponsored by Vivian Searcy in honor of Mark Wheeler and his family. She enjoys listening to them. We sure want to say thank you to Ms. Vivian Searcy for the sponsorship today. And we concur to hear them sing. Amen. And some of those songs that he's written are wonderful. The FM 94.9 and the Anchor Baptist Broadcasting Network, WGCR.net, the preaching, music, and the video channels is being sponsored by Caleb and Brandy Nicholson in honor of their 9th wedding anniversary and in honor of their son, Aiden, getting saved. I say amen to that and certainly pray with them for their other 3 sons to be saved at an early age. And it's just hard to believe that I've known him since he was little, married 9 years, and wonderful sons and one that saved. Boy, there's nothing greater. Parents rejoice. They don't want to push their kids into anything. They want them to understand and know the Lord as their personal Savior. And when that day happens, whoo, that is a wonderful day. We want to say happy birthday to Mr. Mark Parker today. Hope you have had a great day. And Miss Amanda Brown, birthday today. Happy, happy birthday to you. Pray it has been wonderful. Well, let's take a look and see a couple things here. We have had... when we were doing Swap Shop, I was afraid that was going to happen. The traffic in downtown Asheville is pretty bad. There's been a rain cell sitting over that for quite a while. In fact, let me come back to the radar and take a look at it again. At one point, it was pretty heavy rain, and it was just kind of sitting there. And some of the storms they said today would do that. They would just sit there. Let me zoom in on the downtown core of Asheville here. And there are still some pockets of rain. It's more in the Biltmore Forest area now, the heavy rain. Hawthorne down through Rosebank, Biltmore Forest, that area. But up into the downtown core, we're seeing rain. So I'm sure that's impacting the traffic. But let's start with one that was a hot spot. And it was a hot spot when we came into Swap Shop. It's not as bad, but it's still bad. And that is over in the Clyde area. 74, where 23 and 74 split. And you take 74 to get on to 40. That is still major stop and go. And I could not find a rhyme or reason for why that is. And I have a couple of places that usually will tell you if it's a wreck or if it's construction, and just haven't been able to do that. So I'm going to see if they've changed it. Looks like I might have. Okay. Looks like I found something here this time. Emergency road work. Mile marker 30 heading east. That's not, is that the issue? Yeah, that's right. It's headed east. Okay. And it says about 11:55 p.m. tonight, one of 2 lanes is closed. Impact, the traffic is high. Well, there's no doubt about that. It is high. So you come off that exit there, And what's happening is it's up above there, but it's backing up because it's having to merge. So you got people coming onto I-40 and then I-40 traffic merging right there and then having to move over. So that's what's going on there. But yeah, it's a mess. And it's especially 74 to get on, and for about a half a mile or so, it's just pretty much stop and go, with the stoppage being more than the go. Then it kind of a little bit picks up, then picks up a little bit more. You can split off on the 23 there, take 23 into West Canton and go up and pick up 40 that way. That is not impacted like it was during Swap Shop. That right now is flowing pretty well. So that is good. Now, the new 26 in the Montford area coming into 240 is slow. It is moving, but it's very slow. And then when you get on 240, both east and westbound lanes of 240, let's just go way back to where it starts. It starts on the far east side of 240 loop by 40 and 240 on the east side at Fairview Road. And that's near south of the Asheville Mall and this Walmart Supercenter. And it's slow, probably 30, 35 mile an hour through there. Coming around the corner, it slows down even more. And it's both lanes going both directions all the way to across the Jeff Bowen Bridge. Then there's no issue getting on to taking the rest of 240 there at the 74 alternate split on the 26 malfunction junction. No issue. Coming back, there is an issue. So from Haywood Road up to that curve in there at alternate 74, very, very slow going. I-40 is slow going as you are coming from Hendersonville Road westbound to the time you see the French Broad River and Amboy Road. Then the other direction is coming off of alternate 25A, which is Sweeten Creek, all the way back that way. So that's impacted. Let's see. Wow. Sweeten Creek Road down around Harbor Freight. A lot of severe slowdowns through there, both directions, up into almost to the Blue Ridge Parkway. Almost to the Blue Ridge Parkway. And I know there's been a lot of rain in there, which could be contributing to it. People could be slowing down. That could just be part of it. But then you've got stoplights in there as well. Also, 191 is both directions from the Blue Ridge Parkway down to Clayton Road. And then it's okay till you get to Long Shoals Road, both areas there, right there in Avery's Creek. And that's showing up really a lot of stoppage there. Looks like down to a crawl is from the legend of the map. I'm not there, but from the legend of the map, that's what we're seeing. Then I-26 headed towards Asheville, once you pass the Asheville Airport, slows down all the way till you cross under the Blue Ridge Parkway. Then it slows down again when you come under the French Broad River up to Brevard Road. So we got that issue to deal with. Now let's take I-26 down Henderson County, and we're doing fine there. Let me go back to the radar here and see what's happening in Henderson County. It looks like Upward Road is in the middle. It's just light rain to moderate rain. There's nothing severely heavy. East Flat Rock, Ravenwood, Claremont, Kingswood, parts of Tuxedo, trying to get to Zirconia there. We'll see, but just got a just refreshed, and that's light rain, but be careful there. The heaviest cell that I see in Buncombe County is in the Biltmore Forest area and north up into Tunnel Road and I-40. So that's going to account for that. Let's go over into Brevard. Brevard right now on the radar is showing no precipitation, but there's some back behind it in the Pisgah National Forest. I'm not seeing any in Rosman either. So it doesn't seem to be as widespread as yesterday, but what it does seem to be is a little bit more setting there than what we would like, because that can cause ponding and things like that. So just be careful out there. If you're traveling about, know that you might get into a rain shower, you might run into some slick roads because of ponding, or you just might run into some heavy rain. Make sure you have your headlights on if it's raining, and those windshield wipers going. Okay, yesterday we're talking about a tropical going to be, and it became, and it's Isaias. And there's also a disturbance that came off the coast of Africa this morning that had a 20% chance of forming into a cyclone in 48 hours. It's got jumped to 50% as of 2 a.m. At 5 p.m. today, the hurricane hunters are still showing 60 mile per hour winds, with now the central pressure below 1,000. It's at 999 millibars. The lower that number drops, the tighter the storm winds up. It is moving northwest now instead of west northwest at 20 miles an hour. And the bad news is it is sitting on the Dominican Republic and Haiti. So the center looks like it's going over the island. And it's hard to tell on this map because I can't blow this particular map up to see exactly. And I've got coordinates, but I'm not going to plot them right now. It take me a few minutes to do that. Yesterday, with every time they did an update, the cone shifted west. All through this morning, early this morning, through the 5, 11, and 2, and now the 5, it has been shifting east. Now, it has to go through these areas where it's at, and a little bit of land that's there isn't going to mess it up too bad, but it could jog it here or there. And we all know hurricanes have a mind of their own. But based on the latest run, it would bring it a little further out from the coast of Florida than hugging the coast, making it a lot better for Florida because, again, the right side of the storm is the worst side of the storm most of the time. And curving and just skirting the Outer Banks. Now, if it keeps pushing out, that'll be good for the Outer Banks. And we're hoping that it will do that. I just spoke with my parents. They have moved inland after who knows how many decades of living right smack on the ocean and having to evacuate when strong hurricanes come. Where they're at now, they're inland by about 18 to 20 miles. So storm surge is now out of that equation, but the wind field isn't and the rain isn't. But their apartment complex is a newer building, and the glass windows are hurricane rated to 150 mile an hour. So he said at that point it'd have to be a Cat 5 before he would have to evacuate. And I'm glad because they're up in their upper 80s. And to pack up and move, and with their inability to move, their mobility issues, they can move, but it's just difficult. And what they have to take to be away, I'm just glad they can stay where they are. But they're saying that it'll produce heavy rains, especially across Puerto Rico, which Puerto Rico, it's over that island, but it's gone through. But here's the problem. They had flood warnings up all day. And so they were still reeling from Maria, and now we've got that to add to it. There's the Dominican Republic, and of course, with that comes Haiti, and they're saying the northern part of Haiti, the Turks, the Caicos, and the Bahamas, all in that zone. They're looking at a Florida East Coast beginning Saturday. So that's only, see, 24 and 12. So what is it? 36 hours out. That's all that is. So yeah, I'll be watching that all day tomorrow just to see because of my mom and dad living there. But pray for the folks there in the Dominican Republic and Haiti and the islands. I have a lot of great Christians that I know through the islands there. And we'll take a look at the weather forecast. And I've seen several forecasts, and they differ on Saturday. I'll tell you the difference here in a minute. But tonight, we're calling for showers and thunderstorms likely before 11 p.m. Then a chance of showers between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. Patchy fog. Chance of precipitation is 60%. New amounts of less than 1/10 of an inch. So not a lot of rain there. Tomorrow, they're calling for a 40% chance, diminishing tomorrow night to 30%. But Saturday, they're saying in this forecast, 40%. I've actually seen some forecasts that drop it down to 20 and show and the Asheville airport could hit 90. So we'll see how that goes. But that's what they're showing for Saturday, more of a sunny day. And then 20% chance of rain is negligible compared to 40. But we'll see. And then a chance of showers and thunderstorms Saturday night. And then Sunday, we're back to a 40% chance. And so Monday, if there is anything that comes off this tropical storm, if it's close enough to throw rain across the state, it would be Monday, more than likely. And now that's assuming the storm stays at the speed it is. It could speed up, and that would be good. It could slow down, and that would be bad. So, but we'll watch that. And that's kind of where we are at with that weather forecast and things, and the wet traffic hopefully gets you home without too many issues. The update on Pastor Barton, in case maybe you missed it yesterday and haven't heard anything at all, he did come through the surgery yesterday, and the doctor said it went as they had expected it to. As is been the case even when I've gone into the emergency room, even in Florida, and even here. It happened to me last year. Sometimes there's just not a bed available, and they finally got a bed, a room that he could go to about 7 o'clock last night. And they, of course, they get you moving quicker than they used to in the days past, and you've been cut into. So one of the things that happens right after surgery is pain. So as you pray that the pain level would diminish dramatically. And that first few days out of what they normally say is the first 3 days are the days that are the critical days of the things of pain and all. But they really get you moving a lot faster than they used to many, many decades ago. So pray for speedy recovery. Pray for his ability to come home, which I'm sure will be when he can do certain things. They have certain marks. He can get himself up and down, and probably my guess would be walking with some kind of a walker till the things start strengthening. And then he has that long process of recovery, because back surgery is no fun. And my dad's had several, and I can remember how long it took and the pain level of it. So continue to remember him. And I know that he very much appreciates each and every one of them. So we are hoping and praying he'll get to come home soon. And it's much easier, it's much easier to recover at home because there's just no place like home. When you, of course, when you, I said this at Swap Shop, when you're in the hospital, you just about get to sleep. They wake you up to take your blood pressure. And I was doing fine, but now I got to go back to sleep. And then about time you get to sleep, they wake you up, take your temperature and blood pressure again. So it's one of those things that has to be done. But yeah, goodness. Well, I told you at the beginning of the week that there was a lot of indicators that would be coming out, and things, and some stuff came out today. And man, the stock market at one point on the news fell, I think if I remember right, around 550 points. Now, it recovered some back at the end of the day. It recovered, but it still lost 225.92, or 0.85 of what it had on the Dow. The S&P dropped 12.22, but the NASDAQ actually came up 44.87. Yesterday, gold was at a big high, knocking at the door of $2,000 an ounce. It went down only $6 today. It's at 1,947.4. So, but gold has taken a leap up, and then silver is at 2,362. And the news today was the fact that the quarterly results came out for the economic activity for the second quarter, which is when there was no activity because we were locked down into the COVID-19 shutdown. And there was so many businesses closed across the United States in if what we all called a phase one. And so that was a staggering number. Now, it was 32.9%. That's how much it contracted. But they had predicted it to be 34-point-something percent. So it was a staggering number that jolted the market, but it was better than what they thought. But also this morning, the Labor Department's weekly new unemployment insurance claims came out, and it was the second straight increase. Claims went 1.434 million. So there's still people needing to get back to work. So there's a lot of things that still are in place. But we said there was a lot of indicators that were coming, and they did, and there they are. And we're hoping and praying that we can get this behind us and get the economy back up. Today, we had 1,239 in the hospital. That's down from yesterday. The total deaths, though, is knocking at the door of 2,000 in North Carolina, 1,903. And let me just see here. The lab confirmed cases yesterday was 1,763. Today it jumped to 2,344. So big jump today. I hate it when I see that. And that brought us back up to 8% positive tests, meaning out of all the tests that they took, 8% were positive. It had been running the last 2 days at 7%, which was great. But that has gone back up to 8. I hope we can bring that back down. That rolling average there would be nice. So we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, like I say, we did see a downtick, which we're glad to see in the hospitalization. I'd like to see that continue to go down back under that 1,000 mark. Would be great if we could do that. So, but anyhow, the case count here, let's just see. If I can do this, I've not tried this before, but I'm going to see if I can do this. And I'll start here. And okay, the total cases starting by date reported in Transylvania County is at 116, according to the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. And you see kind of low deals until you get to July the 1st. Then we start to see this uptick. There were six cases on July the 6th. There were six cases on the 14th, nine cases on the 19th. So interesting enough, the highest percentage rate, 40% or 25 to 49. So very interesting. Now, let me just jump over one more county here, and it'll be Henderson County, and see what Henderson County is showing. 1,325 cases, and their high was on the 13th of July at 63 cases. Before that was on July the 8th at 51. On the the 22nd, there were 54, and then it dropped way down to 19. Then there were 31, and then it dropped down. And today there were six. So that's dropping, and that's good to see that. And again, 36%, 25 to 49. That's the highest group by age there. So there's your numbers for the day. We look at this, and I said we would every day take a look at the we're going to look at all of these things that are happening in our world and in our country, where there's unrest and there's hate and there's COVID and there's job loss, and just, and we were going to look at it through the lens of Scripture. And we showed yesterday the three groups of people: the Gentiles, the Jews, and the church. We all trace everything back to Adam. Adam's son Seth had Enoch and Noah. Noah had Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and they, Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, are the only ones that got on the ark. Okay? When they landed on the ark on the other side, Japheth has sons, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, Tyrus, Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarma. Now, these names, when you trace them, show the interesting part of the Gentile people. The name Japheth means expansion, and it's the lineage of Japheth that settled the furthest away from Israel into what would become the regions of Europe and Asia. Now, what's interesting is Japheth's sons, and I don't have time to go through all of them, but like Gomer, settled in the area that we now call Germany, Turkey, and Eastern Russia, that area. They were identified as the Sumerians, who were very fierce warriors. Okay? Very fierce warriors. And thank you for the text there, that line that's saying the department, North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, sometimes lags behind Transylvania. And Transylvania is showing, the public health is showing 124 cases. So thank you. Appreciate that. All right. Magog. By the way, Magog is mentioned in this war I told you about that hasn't happened yet. Magog descended in the area that would today be Russia. They were the ancient Scythians and Tartars. They later settled much of modern-day Russia. There's a bunch of names here. Iran, Medel, Iran, India, ancient Persia, Javan, Greece, Tubal. He's mentioned in that list. Turkey, later to move to the area known as the Russian states. Some think that Magog refers to a city in the city of Moscow. Some think that, and there are others that believe that Tubal is the city of Tobolsk. Meshach, Moscow, and Meshach was Turkey, later to southern Russia. So what we see is the expansion out into what would become the lineage of the people who would spread the gospel down the road. And God enlarged Japheth, and his name means expansion. And so through these sons, we see this. Now, Ham had Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. And the two names that jump out of that is that Cush had a bunch of sons, and one of them was named Rama, who had Sheba and Dedan. In that war that's in Ezekiel that hasn't been fought yet, there are two places, Sheba and Dedan, that are calling out these people that are going to war, saying, why are you taking this spoil? Why are you doing that? Also, we have Nimrod as one of Cush, who settled in the land of Shinar, which we talked about yesterday. Then there's the sons of Canaan. That was the one the curse was put on, Canaan. And it, listen to his descendants. It's interesting. Sidon, Heth, the Canaanite tribes, the Jebusite, the Amorite, the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Arkite, the Sinite, the Arvadite, the Zamorite, and the Hamathite. This, if you've read the book of Joshua, you'll see some of these names, because these are the people who were wiped out, and that the curse was on them. This is the group that pretty much Joshua placed out as God took them across the land and said, here you go. So we see these sons, and Sheba and Dedan, they're settling in the area of what would be Arabia. And then we see some other sons. But when we get past all of this, we get to Shem. And what's interesting with Shem is Shem has a bunch of children. One of them is called Arphaxad, who has a son named Selah, who has a son named Eber. Eber has a son named Peleg and Joktan. Okay. When we come to the son Peleg, okay, it means division. And in Genesis 10:25, it says, in his days was the earth divided. And it shows the split between the sons of Eber, Joktan going into Arabia, and Peleg going towards Mesopotamia and Syria. But when you trace it down, Peleg has a son who has a son who has a son named Nahor, who has a son named Terah. Sound familiar? Who has a son named Abram. And that would be the man that God would use to bring about the Jewish people, the group of people through which there would be the Savior, Jesus Christ. So we find that this is all God's planning. He has the gospel group that's going to be expanded out, even though at the beginning there are fierce warriors and things. Over time, as they spread out and the gospel gets going in the book of Acts, the church, we see that it is largely the descendants of Japheth who have carried the gospel literally around the world. So we are looking at the lineage of Shem. Through that lineage, we find the fact that the Messiah is coming. We trace it back to there. And when we find Terah, we see that he had Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Abram had Ishmael, and that was their doing. And God said, no, that's not who the seed will be through. Isaac is who the seed will be through. Isaac has Esau and Jacob, and it's through Jacob that we have the 12 sons that become the 12 tribes of Israel, and then you break Joseph out to Ephraim and Manasseh and his sons. Interesting enough, Terah had Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Nahor had Bethuel, who had Rebekah, which became Isaac's wife. So we see that God has everything planned out. Now, in the Bible, now there's been lots of empires. There's been empires here. Some have been world and some have been big, but not necessarily world empires. The Bible recognizes seven. Okay. The Egyptian. And from that came the first bondage and the first in the Bible that I can see of prejudice against a group of people for no reason, other than they rose up a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph, and because of that decided to put them under hard bondage and servitude. There was the Assyrian, and they assimilated the northern 10 tribes of Israel and took them captive, and they just kind of assimilated them. There was Babylon that took the southern 2 tribes of the divided kingdom. They're taken captive, and they will return after 70 years. Then there's the Persians and the Medes who conquered Babylon, and it was under their rule that the Jews were allowed to go back and rebuild. And you find that under Daniel and his visions under Ezra and Nehemiah, and then some of the minor prophets write in. Then there's the Grecian Empire, the conquest of Alexander the Great and his four generals. And then there's the Roman Empire, which starts in 44 BC, but runs all the way up to 476 AD. And they conquered Greece and were in power at the time of Christ, when Jesus came, all through Jesus' ministry and through the Apostle Paul's ministry and all the way to John being on the Isle of Patmos and his death. All of that took place under the Roman Empire. Now, those six have come and gone, but there's another one that's called the Revived Roman Empire, the 10 toes of Daniel 2, and you'll see things in Revelation. So God has got everything lined up, moving. And so when we see these things that we're seeing, and we're going to take a look in a general view, because we don't have time on here to do a deep Bible study, but we're going to look at some of these things and see the connection of the Bible to events and see how God has everything orchestrated unto these events. So always look, what group of people is it? And where they fit into the world of prophecy. Those are the things that excite me, because when I look at it through that lens, I can only think one thing is, the song says, he's coming soon. There's no doubt. I'm gonna leave this world with a shout. Sin will be gone and things will be right. Keep looking up. It might come tonight. Father, we pray that you would bless, you would help, you would encourage folks today. Love on them and just let them know it's under control. And one day when the last person gets saved, we're going to make our way home. Meanwhile, there's people that need the Lord. Oh, how I pray that they would see the need before it's everlasting too late. We pray for people that are coming up with upcoming surgeries. Lord, we ask you to minister in bodies and get doctors ready. We pray for Pastor Barton. We ask you, Lord, to raise him up to good health, Lord, and may he be able to come and rest in home as he recovers and tries to get back through the month of August, where he can get back at the end of the month. We pray, Lord, that you would just do a miracle of super healing. We pray, Lord, for people who are going through hard places, whatever that may be, encourage their heart, strengthen them with your might, by your spirit, in the inner man. We'll thank you for all that you do in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. This is Pastor Walton in for Pastor Barton, praying you have an absolutely wonderful evening.